Welcome to the 12-Step Recovery Evolution podcast. Visit recoveryevolution.co.uk for more episodes, helpful resources and links to our social media. Also visit the site for information on how you can attend a future Zoom session or workshop live. Thank you.
Morning, folks. I hope you're all right. It's good being here. I'm proper nervous. Like, I don't know why, because it ain't about me. It's about God, isn't it? My journey with God started probably about 19 years ago. I was having really weird shit going on in my house, really dark, evil stuff going on in my house. And at the time I was in active addiction and that. And my brother was in AA and he kept talking about this guy called Lester. And it got to the point where it was proper bad in my house. My kids were suffering, and he said, this guy's a Christian, I'll bring him round. And at that point, I was so scared of the stuff that was going on. I was like, yeah, I'll do anything, And I imagined a Christian being this guy with sandals on and, do you know what I mean, holier than thou and all of that. And then Lester rocked up with a long ponytail and a Harley Davidson. And he come in and straight away, it's just this guy's really cool. And he kind of went round my house and took the darkness away. It was amazing. And then we just sat up chatting all night till about 2-3 in the morning and said a prayer, And that is, my first encounter with God, really. And recovery. So that was the start of it. Although looking back now, I can see that God's been with me all throughout my life. I didn't know that. I come from a cancer estate and we drink and use drugs. That's what we've done, sort of was in and out of recovery a long time. But I remember when Lester and Sonia was in Watford doing the Bible studies and that. And I think at the time I didn't really get it because, Lester was like, oh, what does God look like to you? And it was like a man with a long beard and the stick. And, I didn't really understand God then, and I kind of carried on using and drinking and I felt condemned. I felt shameful. I kind of started going to church with, people in, they were different, or I saw them different then. These people had big houses in Radley and, that's what I saw, Lovely people, but, I felt I was their lost cause. And, obviously doing drink and drugs and going to church don't mix. So I sort of went along like that for a few years and I just felt fearful of God, I was frightened of him. I was oh my God, anything I thought, I was I'm bad, I'm really bad, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. God's condemning me. Why would he want me? And I ended up going a bit nuts and went into Shredell's, which is a mental unit. And Sonia, bless her, used to have the twins when they were little. And it kind of went, it did go on like that for a few years. And then, and then it was just I stopped the drinking, but I stuck on methadone. And all the time, I did believe in God. Let me get that across. I did. But, I just thought he didn't want me. And that was my own self-worth, And when I come into ECR, the stuff leading up to that was just so powerful that it was God. It was, my nephew died in my arms when he was four. And leading up to going in Leicester's, I sort of had this dream, and it was like, it was so real. And it was Jamie, and he was like, you know, laughing and smiling, and I just knew, like, I was in contact with Leicester at the time, and he kept saying to me, "Lise, come in, come into here, come in, let me help you, let me help you." "Yeah, I will," you know, but not yet. Do you know what I mean? And this dream I had, it kind of led me to go round to Leicester and Pauline's. And like, we sort of sat there chatting, watched the film, and then the next day I come to the centre, and on the board in the office, my nephew was called Jamie Bone. There was a name on it, and it was Jamie Bone. And it was like, you know, wow, you know what I mean? Amazing. So I think coming into Leicester's, you know, and getting off of everything, you know, for me, it was everything. I had to get off everything, you know, to let God come through me. And doing the steps, like, in Leicester's. And I remember step seven. And, like, it was so powerful for me. It was like everything made sense. My whole life made sense. It was, like, better than any fucking trip I've done, any drug I've done. It was just, like, out of this world. It was like, oh, my God, this all makes sense now. You know, my life made sense. And, you know, when I come out of Leicester's, I sort of started going to Soul Survivor. I started going, there was a Christian recovery group. You know, and I felt loved. I felt so loved. You know, like, I believe that, you know, Jesus is my friend, my comforter. You know, when I'm lonely, he's with me all the time. And God is my father. You know, my dad died years ago, an alcoholic death. And you know, for me to have a father that loves me is just like, you know, it makes my heart melt, really. And, you know, times of trouble and that, for me, I know I'm going to get through it because, like, God says so. You know, and it's just mental, because I look back on my life and I see glimpses of where God was, you know. Like, you know, even when I was a little girl, I just remember swinging on a swing and the sun shining and just, like, random stuff, you know. And we never believed in God. We weren't taught that. We were, like, you know, rough. Do you know what I mean? You didn't talk about God or anything. And it's mad because, like, you know, to me, like, when all that evil shit was going on, that actually turned me to God. I was so scared that turned me to God. And the only prayer I knew was what we used to say in assembly, which brought me to Leicester, which brought me to recovery, you know. So, like, you know, I go to church, well, not now because we're in lockdown, but, you know, I don't feel that anyone's better than me. I feel that we're all the same, you know what I mean? That God loves us all. I'm not ashamed of myself today, you know. In church, when I was a year sober, you know, like, the pastor sort of was like, yeah, you know, we want to congratulate Lisa. And I stood up and there's like 500 people there, you know, knowing that I'm an addict, and I didn't care. They were so, like, you know, pleased for me. And, like, how that worked was, there was a few people in the, like, in the crowd that knew a few people that were struggling, and so, like, I talked to them, and you know what I mean? God is amazing, you know. And, you know, I've been so blessed. I really have. Like, you know, I've sort of was always on benefits and stuff, and I always wanted to do better. I always wanted to sort of support others. And, you know, a few years into, like, my recovery, my sponsor was like, you know, you need to get a job. And I went, a what? A job? And she's like, yeah. And, like, again, the circumstances leading up to that at church, this job come up, and I went for it and I got it. And it's a Christian organisation, you know, and it's helping people like us and homeless people and people, you know, that I believe Jesus would go out and be amongst, you know. And like at work, we pray. At work, like, they're like, Lise, go and do a meeting, you know. I really believe that going through what I've gone through is the reason I've gone through that is to help others and share my experience, you know, and tell people how good God is and how much they're loved, you know what I mean? Yeah, and like, you know, as you guys know, my mum passed away 6 weeks ago tomorrow, and you know, that's one of the hardest things I've gone through in recovery, and you know, if it weren't for my faith, I'd be a lot worse than I am. All right, I get my days where I'm just in bits, and but like, I know in my heart, I know that she's up in heaven and she's with my little nephew and they're free and out of pain. And I just quickly want to share this. Like, the other night I had this dream, and I think I was in a hospital or something, and there was a porter there, and he kept saying, your mum's alive. And I kept going, no, she's dead. Why are you saying that? She's dead. And like, he's going, no, Lee, she's alive. And all I can't remember what he looked like or nothing, but it was just these like face full of compassion and love. Oh, sorry. And he was like, she's alive. And I truly believe, you know, that was Jesus telling me, you know, although I know it was him saying, you know, she is, Lee, she's here. You know, and if it weren't for my faith and my belief in that and my hope, where would I be? You know, I think Lester once said to me, you know, like, even if, right, God weren't real and it weren't real and there weren't no heaven, I'd rather live a life full of hope and love, do you know what I mean, than not. So, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I just, anyone who's struggling or, you know, there is a God out there, whatever you may, you know, go towards, you know, I think someone else said the other day, like, no matter what you follow, you know, they're all kind of saying the same thing, you know what I mean? They're full of love and they're there for you, you know? Today I've got such a good relationship with God. And I never thought, you know, going back years, it's like me being a Christian. And do you know what? I think it's really cool. I love it, you know. And my kids, you know what I mean? My daughter, she prays, meditates and all that now. She's sort of in and out of madness, but she's got that gift that, you know, she knows God. Do you know what I mean? Or she's seeking God. And my other daughter as well. And like, you know, I play my Christian music. I love my worship music. It really does help me. And like, my kids don't bat an eyelid. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, it's a testament as well that, you know, they do know. You know what I mean? I'm not that person I used to be at all, you know. And that's through God. And this God-given program, you know, Lester, Sonia, like, I also believe that God puts people in your path, you know, massively. And, you know, like, I'm back in sort of contact with people that have lost their mums and in recovery. And, you know, these people fucking help me so much, so much. And they just happen to be Christians, which is really cool, you know. But yeah, God is good, and I'll leave it there, Fox.
thank you so much for that. There was a lot, so much I could relate to. Yeah, I'm from Angel, do you know what I mean? You know, grew up and that, and what life's about. And there was a lot of, I have my faith, but there was a lot of evil around, and I think I can interpret what you were sort of getting at. And yeah, it's frightening, but it is God, I think, that sees us through. And totally, yeah, I just relate to all of your story. I think that God, because when I was, when it came to me with my social worker, and she was going, like, where do you want to go for rehab? And so first of all, I picked this one and we called it up. They had no book, because I had to go, it had to go live to panel. And it had no bookings. It was vacant for about the next 4 weeks. I was going to panel in a couple of days, do you know what I mean? So it was like, okay, sweet. And yeah, got my funding and everything. And then when we called up, they were booked up for like 2 months. It was mad. And I said, you know what? I'm just turning this over to God, because obviously last time I tried to work myself, I got it all wrong. So I'm just leaving it with him, and I ended up at ECR. And it's, yeah. And it's the best thing that's ever happened to me in my entire life. From the minute I walked in there, oh my God, Kelly kept me together and got me there. And the day I got there, my chewing gum snapped. And I needed to go to the loo when I got there. And I went into the centre. I just knew from walking in there that I was where I was meant to be. And every day that I was at ECR, for the first time in my life, I knew that I was at the right place at the right time for the first time in fucking 52 years of my life. And you know, I'm 15 months clean and sober now. Okay. And I don't let up on nothing, because I don't want to. And I'm like a little God. I just, you know, but it's my relationship with him, and I get it. And I think that when it's like the thing that's in you, and like you, I don't give a shit who I talk to, what I say, because I say this is what I think, and just hope that that message shines out to people. Because the one thing that the tiny grain of hope that I had about recovery was when I was in proper insanity, and I just saw something going on in other people's eyes, and I'm like a little monster, proper addict, do you know what I mean? I'm like, I want a bit of that. Whatever fucking going on, do you know what I mean? And that's just what I work for every day. And I'm going through some really battle. I'm going to say it. I got diagnosed with cancer again 4 weeks ago. And it's the second time I had to beat cancer once to get to ECR. And I got diagnosed with stage 3 again a month ago. And so the days that I've not been making the meetings is because I've had to go to hospital, and I start my treatment week Monday. And do you know what? This is the peacefulest I've ever felt in my life. You know, it's the best I've ever felt mentally, because God's with me. Do you know what I mean? And especially with how everything's going on at the moment, and I'm having to do everything by myself. No one can come in the hospital with me. I've had to have some grueling stuff done, but he's there. And like you said about your mum, you know when he's there, and it is mind blowing when you know, and you know when you've pushed him away or you've blocked him off because you've gone into self, and then and that's recovery, isn't it? Because it's about doing, just even, you know, I had him in a CT scanner with me last week. You know what I mean? I was just like, but the point is, he's always there, you know, seek him. And the times, my favourite poem is Footprints, because I brought that back with me from ECR. And you know, and yeah, like you, all my days, the amount of times he's held my hand and pulled me up, you know. And it was really funny, just one more thing, when you said about you know, when someone said to you, you've got to come off benefits, like, you know, you've got to sort yourself out now. I swear down with everything I got. This morning, when I, because I write a letter to God every morning, I wrote in it, once I get through this, God, I just want to be supporting myself through helping others. And when you said that, and God speaks through people, and it's like, don't worry, George, get through this and we'll get on it together again with getting you doing some good work. So thank you so much, Lisa. It's really touched me this morning and it's made me open up. So God bless and thank you. And thanks, Fox.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for that. I could relate to quite a lot of what you were saying. So about 2005, I was doing step work for the first time, but in a non-AA sort of way. It was basically step four, and I'd had this massive spiritual awakening where I suddenly realised and had like this revelation where I saw all the people that had harmed me as sick themselves, and it was gave me so much peace and I felt so much free, and I confessed all like my bad stuff to my higher power. I found this higher power. The word God wasn't being used, but I could accept higher power. And then I came onto this course in miracles, and it completely spun me out. It used the words Jesus and God, and I had a complete crisis. I had this complete fear of God. I had complete and utter shame for my existence, the fact that I was existent. I completely lost my mind. So I can relate to having a bit of a breakdown over that. I know also, I feel like God's always been with me as well. I can see the unity throughout my whole life there, and how that sense of separation's only occurred when my mind's taking me in a wrong turn. And that's where it feels like I feel separate. And I am totally get like the energy of Jesus as being a friend and a comforter. I've definitely felt that in my life. And yeah, I see God as like whatever God is, as like my ultimate creator and father, and also how the energy of whatever it is works through my actual father and, you know, other people like my partner in my life as well. And yeah, putting people in your path. So you use the words God. I've always used the words universe. The universe is putting people in my path. But yeah, like yesterday, the share yesterday, Siobhan, it was just the right information at the right time. And then what you said today, I can really relate to a lot. And also when I left home for the first time, when I was free and doing things off my own bat, I didn't even realise, but most of the people that I was meeting and resonated with were sort of secret Christians, if you like. It wasn't like they were shoving it in my face, but I didn't realise, but they were all Christian people who had come through the 12-step programme. I didn't have a clue at the time, but they were people that I gravitated towards and that helped me a lot during my sort of early path to self, I wouldn't even say recovery, just knowing myself more than anything. So thank you so much for your share. You've come obviously so far, and that's testament to the faith that you found and the connection, you know, that you found with your God and the people around you. So thank you for sharing. I got a lot from it.
Thanks, Lisa, for your share. Wow. You're just an inspiration to us all, Lisa. I remember when you come into ECR, and we went through our journey together, and you always kept me in check, and I really appreciated that, you know, because I just used to get manic and do silly things, and used to always sit there, take time out and talk to me, and, you know, yeah, I always had God in my life, but I didn't understand him, but I'm starting to learn that every day now. I do a little thing with Pauline once a week, and it's just amazing because it's opened me up to him. You know, I just couldn't understand. Yeah, it was just, yeah, but it's lovely to start to get to know him and get an understanding of him. And yeah, I feel your pain with your mum. I've lost my mum 5 months ago, and it was the worst pain that I ever felt. I thought I felt pain when I was coming off drugs, and, you know, thank God for this program because that's what's getting me through it, you know, and I miss her so much, and I just started to get to know her, and then I lost her, you know, and yeah, so it's it's not an easy journey, so I'll take my hat off to you, Lisa, getting through this, you know what I mean, mate, because I remember when you first come in, how many times we wanted to go home and how many times we packed our bags. But you know what, we stuck it out, thanks to Lester, Sonia, Kelly, all of them, you know, and some of our peers, you know. So I just want to say I love you so much, Lisa, and well done, man. I'm so proud of you. You know, we can do this together. I'm here anytime for you, you know that. Right, I love you lots. I'll leave it there.